The Drama of the Week is a download from the BBC.
Our Oresteia trilogy concludes with The Furies, written by Aeschylus and adapted for radio by Rebecca Lenkowitz. Each part is introduced by Edith Hall, Professor of Classics at King's College London.
The third and final play of the Oresteia trilogy opens on a note of apparently irreconcilable conflict. Clytemnestra, in the first play, murdered her husband Agamemnon. In the second play, their son murdered her to avenge his father. Sooner or later, someone will come to avenge Clytemnestra unless the whole system of blood feud and escalating reciprocal violence can finally be ended. The answer, provided by the gods, is the invention of trial by jury and the first ever homicide court. The play opens at the Delphic Oracle, where the Furies have pursued Orestes. But he's diverted to go to Athens now to stand trial. The first two plays of the trilogy are set in the very distant past as far as Aeschylus's audience are concerned. What happens in the third play is that all the issues of revenge killing and what you do with murder and what you do about war, what you do about the state, all these big political issues are brought together at an Athens where you've actually got the ancestors of the audience on stage. You've got 12 jurors on stage who are casting their votes. So all of a sudden, the Athenians get to identify something very much contemporary and modern. This is, you know, they go and sit on juries and judge in cases of homicide. He's trying to make everything they've seen matter to the now of the Athenians in 458 BC. The reason why that was so important was that 2 years before, there'd been an extraordinarily violent civil war, a struggle between the Democrats to keep the Athenian democracy, who were all, of course, pro-trial by jury, and the state administering things. And, if you like, the last stand of the old aristocrats who wanted to keep everything in the family. So he's actually sort of transferring from the Bronze Age myth into the contemporary experience of his audience some of the biggest issues of the day.
The Oresteia by Aeschylus. The Furies, a new version by Rebecca Lenkowitz.
The place is Delphi. It is late morning. The heat is about to break. I wait upon a hill with a few others to see if we might be allowed to give offerings today. A woman walks up to the temple of Apollo. She stops outside the great wooden gates. She stands tall upon the dry ground. A girl sits with a goat under a tree nearby. The girl stares at the woman.
Do you bring a sacrifice, child? You know, you cannot just come in here. It is cast by lots.
No. It's not for killing.
Where are your parents? This is holy ground, not for loitering.
They're dead. My father was a soldier. He was killed and my mother lost her mind. Mm.
She should have looked to the gods.
She cursed them. Then someone took me in. A man. But I ran away.
And you took the goat. Good. You know where you are?
Apollo's shrine. A safe place.
The girl puts her hand upon the wooden images on the gates.
Who was the first prophet here?
Gaia.
Then?
Apollo.
No.
The girl studies the woman. The girl's skin is filthy, but her eyes are clear.
Why do you scrutinize me, child? Do you know who I am?
You are the Pythia, the prophetess.
Why do you look so strangely at me?
You wear the white dress of a maiden.
Because I am married to this temple, to Apollo. Go now, I must pray.
Can I go in?
No. I must honour Apollo.
The girl returns slowly to her goat. The Pythia looks heavenward. She encants quietly.
I pray first to the Earth, Gaia, then to Themis and to Phoebe, a third Titaness, and to her grandson Apollo, who set sail from Delos. You, Apollo, you left the round pool of your birth, your childhood rocks and cliffs. You arrived here on Pallas' coast. You made your home below Mount Parnassus. You were welcomed by these children of Hephaestus, these makers of roads. Zeus gave you the gift of prophecy that you might use this throne fully. You are the spokesman here for him, for your father Zeus. I pray also to Athena, and I honour the nymphs who live in the Corycian caves, dark hollows, a rugged haven for birds, where spirits are seen wandering. I revere you too, Dionysus. You lived here ever since you led your Bacchants into battle. They netted Pentheus like a hare and they killed him. I call also upon the springs of Pleistus and on mighty Poseidon, and finally upon you, Zeus the Most High, Zeus the Fulfiller. This prayer said, I go now to sit upon the prophetic throne. May all you gods grant me my richest vision so far.
The Pythia looks around her now, bright light, and a few people staring from a distance.
Are any of you Greeks coming in? You know what to do. Draw your lots and then enter, and I shall prophesy as the god sees fit to guide me.
The Pythia pushes open the vast wooden doors, all her weight against them, and enters the temple. The priestess runs back outside now and throws herself into the dust, wild, terrified. She circles around on her hands and knees.
What? I saw in there. Oh, I can't. My legs. I can't get up. Must run. Must stand. So frightened. I'm no better than a child.
The girl goes to her. The Pythia clings to the girl's leg, her hands like a bird's claws, locked into the girl's thighs. The girl pulls her up, steadies her so that she can stand, her strong legs shaking, her eyes bewildered.
What happened? What did you see in there?
I walked into the vault. No.
What? What was it?
There were green wreaths hanging down. A man was sat upon the navel stone.
Who? Which man?
I thought he was seeking asylum. He was polluted. His hands were covered in blood. His sword was freshly drawn from its scabbard. He held a large olive branch. On it was a long wreath of wool, snow-white fleece. Sat around him were women. No, I...
What then?
Ah, asleep they were, upon chairs. They had no vestige of the human, nor were they gorgons.
Were they harpies?
No, they had no wings. Their skin was pitch, as if they worked in the mines. They smelt like rotting meat. The noises they made in their sleep, like death rattles. Their breath was sulfur. The air was rank with it. Their hooded eyes dripped blood and seeped yellow discharge. Their bodies...
Were they naked?
No! Rags they had on, which covered nothing. Not rags, strips, stinking fetid strips of animal hide. These creatures, they were never children. They are the Eumenides.
The Furies.
Born from the blood that fell upon the ground when Cronos castrated his father, Uranus. Apollo must deal with them. They are in his temple. He is both healer and seer, a diviner, a purifier for others. Apollo must decontaminate his own house.
He will. Won't he?
The Pythia touches the girl's head. The girl slowly walks away. Come with me into the chamber. To witness these wretched attempts at women, we cannot take comfort from each other. We can only go into the darkness. The man is there still. He sits upon the navel stone. He prays. It is Orestes, fled from killing his mother. His hands shake, but still he holds his bloodied sword and olive branch. Facing him are three of the Furies. Asleep, almost inert, they are wrapped around their chairs. Here is Alecto, the unnameable. If you look closely, you can see she shivers like a spent dog in her deep narcosis. There is Megaera, the jealous one, her head back, open-mouthed. And next to her, Tisiphone, the destructor, whose fetid leg twitches while she dreams of death. Abhorrent. Beyond this rotting trinity lies a whole tribe, maybe 40 of their wretched sisters. They are the Eumenides, the gracious ones. All over the ground they are curled up or splayed. Hair and limbs are entangled like the roots of trees. Sleeping. Acrid. Writhing.
Apollo, you are known for your sense of justice. I call upon you now to exercise compassion. Your generosity is respected by all.
A snake sounds. No sign of it on the ground. But from a dark corner of the temple, gold glistens. Another gold moves, shapeshifts. The shadows and parts become a man. No, not a man. An immortal. Muscles of molten gold. The face of intelligence. Blue eyes that pierce the darkness. Apollo appears. He stands before Orestes, who shields his eyes. Apollo's flaming armor flickers. His golden limbs are taut, auric offshoots of the sun.
Orestes, I will not betray you. I am with you until the end.
Orestes takes his hand away from his face and stares at the god.
Whether I am stood beside you or far away upon some foreign mountain, I will deal with your enemies. Harshly. I have forced sleep upon these hags, sows, repulsive old maids, suppurating spinsters. They have no purchase with the gods, nor with people, nor even animals. They are born solely for evil. They live in the dank and dark of Tartarus, underground. Men despise them, as do the Olympian gods.
What should I do, Apollo?
You must quit them. Escape their eyes and hunger. They will pursue you. They will be relentless. They will follow you to the length of this country, and when you reach its peninsula, they will chase you over the seas. You must outrun them and reach Athens. There you must go to Athena's temple.
Yes. And then?
Sit down outside her gates and clasp her wooden image to you. Hold Athena in your arms.
As a mother. Apollo.
The gold has faded. Was it a trick of the light?
Apollo, do you stand before me? Or is my head so fevered that I invoked you? You are on my side, yes?
There will be judges.
Judges?
They will decide your case.
My case?
They will find a way to acquit you from this suffering.
Suffering?
I am involved.
I am involved.
I urged you to kill your mother.
My mother.
You must conquer all fear.
Fear.
A second god appears now from the dark. White wings spring from either side of his head and from his heels.
Hermes, are you here?
He is my blood brother and he will guard you, Orestes. Hermes, don't let this boy out of your sight. He seeks asylum and he is under my aegis. Zeus respects the sanctity of wayfarers. Orestes, you will have the blessing of Hermes here, a brilliant guide in your journey back to human society.
They've gone. If they were ever here.
Orestes curls up onto the stone as though it were a womb. But now he seems to put his hand out to another, invisible hand. He stands up, determined. He leaves the temple, his hand empty. From the shadows of the altar, colours flit. Yellow. Red. A sigh. And again. The ghost of a woman is almost complete. A dead queen. Her saffron dress is stained with blood as though she had been cut down the middle. She stares at the sleeping furies. She walks among them like a general, but slowly, as if in a trance. She is awake and yet asleep. A butchered but walking somnambulist. Apollo watches, half present. He whispers.
What do you want of them, Clytemnestra? I have bade them sleep, these sisters of the night.
And the god disappears.
You're sleeping.
Clytemnestra tries to rouse the sleeping furies.
Wake up! Now!
But she talks as one who is also in sleep.
How will you catch Orestes if all you do is sleep?
She sees herself from outside of herself.
I am dead. Disgraced because of you. The shades in the underworld attack me because I killed my husband. I am ostracized, shunned. My own son took a knife to me, split me from my throat to my womb. Yet none of the gods defend me. All I hear are drums in my head. The bastard shades torment me endlessly. Look at these wounds. In this walking sleep, I can at least formulate thoughts, but I still cannot tell the future. You have gorged yourselves on my offerings. I have left sacrifices for you day and night. I gave my heart in prayer, and it has been trampled upon. Orestes has gone. He escaped like a hunted fawn. He darted out of your net. Listen to me! My soul is at stake. Do you hear, you stinking creatures of the earth? I am not a voice in your sleep. I am here, present. A queen, Clytemnestra. Moan, make moan. But your quarry has gone, and he will travel fast with his powerful friends. You're catatonic. You hear nothing. You feel nothing. Orestes, my son who murdered me, has escaped. Yes, make your moronic noises, but get up!
Yes,
no! You're good for nothing save hunting and maiming. The chase has been long. You're consumed by exhaustion. He has sapped you of the strength of the fearsome snake.
Hunt him!
Beasts!
Kill him!
Wild boars!
Over there!
You're chasing animals in your sleep, you lunatics!
The furies pant like bloodthirsty hounds. Their tongues loll. They dribble.
Get up! This bastard sleep. Don't be softened by it. Remember your suffering. Feel the pain hemorrhage through your body. Everything you've been through. Get up. Show some backbone. Breathe your bloodied iron breath into his neck. Infect
him with your sighs. Come, use the fire in your belly to follow him. Drain him of all his lifeblood.
Clytemnestra holds herself bereft. She cannot cry. She stares at the Furies and shakes. Perhaps she is cold. Or perhaps it is the memory of the knife she used. Or the blade that went into her. She walks uncertainly, as though bewildered, from woman to child, from the shadows of the vault back into the ground.
Wake up! Get up!
Electo sits up from her sleep.
Get up! And wake our sister there! Sleeping? Stephanie, shake off this sleep! We must see if we have him.
Is he here?
Where's he hiding?
The three Furies rise. They look about them.
He's gone. He's gone.
Orestes has gone.
No.
Chase him. We must chase him. Sisters. Sisters, rouse yourselves. Our quarry is gone.
Get up. Get up.
We've gone through so much. Sisters, all that suffering and for nothing.
We've torn ourselves apart.
The beast has escaped his cage.
He's gone, yes. But how? We have slept and lost our prey. Apollo! Apollo! Do you hear me? You're a thief, an upstart, an urchin. You're the lowest. You trample over ancient divinities. You've made Orestes your cause. You help him, yet he's filth. Scum. He murdered his own blood. You, a god, you defend a man who killed his mother. How can you do that?
Whilst I slept, I felt reproach shoot through my body. A lightning pain, as though a horseman with a spear impaled me between my thighs. Up, up it shot, piercing my hymen, splicing my liver in two. It's there now, the pain, aching pain, ice-cold spasm.
Some bastard has rammed an iron rod up you. You don't shock us, Apollo. You're a young god. You imagine you have power, you cocky runt.
Your prophetic throne is covered in blood.
The earth's umbilical cord is one long, dark, diseased ribbon.
Electo stares up in vain, circling, trying to see the god.
Apollo! You may be a seer, but you have polluted. You have defiled the inner sanctity of your own temple. It was you who set the killing in motion. You urged Orestes to do it. You violated the laws of the gods. You favoured a mortal. You've tampered with destiny.
Apollo has offended me. He will not succeed in freeing that cob.
Even if Orestes finds refuge in the underworld, he will never escape purgatory. He is contaminated. And wherever he goes, we will be just breaths behind him. And we will avenge his mother's death.
Apollo?
We hear you. Show yourself.
Apollo appears now. Tall, poised, burnished gold. He holds a bow tight, pulled back. He aims it towards the sisters. The arrow hums, ready to shoot.
This is a sanctuary. Get out. Out of my house. Now. Or I will let this arrow go. It will rip into you, a winged, flashing snake, venomous. It will fly out from this golden bow. You will choke on your own vomit, on the murky liquids you've siphoned from dead bodies. You'll cough up the blood clots you swallowed from strangers' arteries. You're not fit to lick the earth. You should only reside in places where decapitation happens, where punishment means death or the gouging out of jellied scarlet eyes, where eunuchs' children are castrated, where women are stoned to death, where men have their fingernails ripped out, their toes smashed as an iron spike splinters their spines, where children are massacred. You are anathema to the gods with your bloodlust. Look at you. Women? No. You are creatures.
You should live in caves with lions, your furs smeared with blood and feces. You infect this holy place. Get out. The gods do not want dealings with aberrations like you.
Apollo, listen to us. You are to blame here. You are culpable from the first.
It's true. You are entirely the cause.
How? Answer me.
Didn't you tell Orestes of an oracle that he should kill his mother?
The oracle stated that Orestes should punish Clytemnestra.
And you promised to receive him while the blood was warm and sticky upon his hands?
I invited him to approach this house for asylum.
And how can you cast stones at us then, who followed him?
You're not fit to set foot in here.
We have a duty.
Which duty? Which noble privilege have the gods thought fit to bestow on you?
We plague those who do violence to their mothers.
And what of a woman who murders her husband?
She has not killed her own blood.
You show no respect for Hera, then, the goddess of marriage and Zeus. You show them contempt.
Where is Orestes?
You spit on Aphrodite, too, who bestows love and intimacy upon mortals. A bed hallowed by destiny is stronger than an oath. A man and a woman share it, and justice stands over them in that bed.
Where is our boy?
If you excuse a wife for killing her husband, then you should also forgive Orestes, not drive him out of his home. You treat his killing Clytemnestra as a heinous act, but you ignore what she did. The goddess Athena will oversee a trial and will resolve this debate.
I will never, never let that boy go.
Get out, then. Hunt him down. Put yourselves in danger. Rip your innards out in the chase.
We have our orders.
I wouldn't obey such orders for all the treasures of the heavens.
You are already where you need to be. You sit next to Zeus and his throne. A mother's spilt blood is our spur, and we must succeed.
We will catch Orestes, and we will punish him.
We will, Apollo. I promise you. For all the mothers who have been wronged, for all the darkness they have witnessed, we will hunt him down. Come, sisters all! Take up your spears!
Alecto stares back at Apollo, death in her piercing eyes. The wretched tribe of sisters leaves, Alecto at their head, her eyes flashing, her arms skyward. Megaera runs and dances, and Tisiphone beats a drum of skin and bone. They are a wild, dark mass of female anger, an entourage of hysteria pulsating and drumming for the head of Orestes.
I am his supporter and protector. Orestes' only chance against them is with my help. I cannot. I will not abandon him.
Apollo walks out now into the searing glare of the sun. The heat beats down upon his armor. The gold of his breastplate flashes onto the rocks and statues of the temple. The sun shines white hot upon its god. Sparks fly from his shoulder blades. Apollo looks up to the sky.
All weathers will fall upon this boy. Orestes, you must run fast and with cunning from these furies. They live for the chase. They will not stop until they corner you. A pack of bitches baying for your blood.
And so the chase began. And so it progressed. The furies followed Orestes' trail over sand, water, and mud. Days became weeks. As Orestes kept running, hiding, covering his tracks. He drank rainwater and killed rabbits. He daren't light a fire. Raw meat and berries were his sustenance. Always he was listening. The same sounds. There was the wind, and there were the birds, and there were the animals cracking through twigs. Today, for the 100th time, he listened and heard nature's patterns. Silence.
They stopped. They've stopped.
He imagined again, like a madness, that he had rid himself of these furies. And just as he stood still for that perfect moment, he would hear them again. That distant drum. Those cries.
Who? No. Leave me. I'm tired. I don't want to die, but I can't live like this. Apollo, I can't go on. My feet are raw, my legs are humming, my hands are torn, my stomach is bilious. All I can taste is fear. They're trying to make my heart explode as my mother's did. I laid my hand on her breast to keep her still as I drew my knife. Her heartbeat was so fast that it felt like she was holding a tiny animal under her dress, that it was pinioned, attempting to flee. Apollo, are you there? Were you ever there?
He has been here. There's blood.
Let me drink it. No time, Magira. No matter that it's mixed with mud.
Stop that, Magira. You slow us down.
I'm faster than all of you. Look at these legs.
You are tall, but you stop and stop like a madwoman. No more of this.
I smell him upon this tree.
And more blood. A rabbit and the fur of it.
Give it to me. For my neck. Stop it. It was for good speed.
Leave it. There is no time for trinkets. Come, sisters. It is night now. You two must find him and ravish him so hard that he will not breathe beneath you.
My thighs will crack his torso.
My nails will out his eyes.
And I shall watch and throw earth upon his face when he is dead. More burial than his mother had.
Blood. Blood. We will have blood.
Orestes hears the distant chant.
Somewhere. There must be a way to the sea.
He seems to see a shadow in the trees. A long saffron dress in the darkness. The figure of a woman. She wears a red veil over her face, which goes down to her waist. The veil is tattered at its end. Uneven. In ribbons.
Not ribbons, but blood.
My blood.
Mother.
Should I answer to that name?
What do you want of me?
To see you gone. To see you torn apart. I want to see you suffer as I suffered.
I will not. I refuse to die.
So did your father. He tried to take me with him. Come with me now. Come and see him.
Orestes stumbles. He is at the edge of a high and sheer cliff. The vision has gone.
It would be so easy to escape from their filth, from earthly pain. One step and no more pain.
No. I want to live.
And this? You call this life?
I want to live. I want to live!
Orestes steps back from the edge and runs through an olive grove. At the end of it, the land stops again, but small trees and rocks make a descent possible.
Thank you, Apollo. I will find a way to Athens by sea.
He climbs down the cliff. He holds onto stones and branches and looks beneath him at the distant sand and shingle. His arms are strained with the descent.
I will not think of you, my mother. The sea, it calms my soul. But a boat.
There is no boat. Perhaps there is no sea.
Ah, do not make me mad! I need a sail and sea winds, Apollo. Please. Just some wood that'll float. Give me a sign.
There will be no sign. The ocean will disappear. You are climbing down a well. And there is no return once you are inside its walls.
Leave me, woman! Leave me be!
Orestes, pale and shaking, is finally above the beach. No more footholds. He jumps and twists his ankle, but keeps stumbling in the darkness across the strand and towards the sea. He sees the remains of a fire. No food. But a dead bird by the embers.
Apollo, is this what you give me? Your sign? A prelude to death?
As Orestes looks at the black sky, a ribbon of gold breaks through the darkness. And by the shore, in the moonlight, a small coracle with a sail.
Thank you, Apollo.
He steps into the clear salt water, flecks of silver from the moon. Tiny fish swim around his white feet. He weeps at the gentle touch. He climbs into the boat. And from nowhere comes a strong wind that starts to take him out onto the open sea.
Poseidon, I honour you! And Apollo, I am your follower!
I have lost his scent.
Salt. It is the sea.
He is taken to the water, then. We have no vessel.
We must fly.
We have never flown so far.
We will die, Aleto. Do not send us to our death.
When did anything deter us? We are trusted, and it's not so far.
Aleto!
We won't let him go now, will we? Mm-hmm. And let our reputation be ruined?
No, we must have the boy.
The Furies prepare themselves. They run along the flat of the cliff and hurtle themselves off its edge, waving their wild rags and circling their legs like pistons. Screeching, they are airborne. They fly above the waves, and when ships pass, they cling to the masts like starved monkeys. In this wild fashion, they cross the ocean. Orestes rows into the night. His skin is seared. He has forgotten the taste of sleep or sun upon his back. He can only taste sweat and blood. He lands finally and starts the long walk towards Athena's temple. As he climbs the rock face of the shore, he sees figures far off in the sky, tiny but just discernible. And on the air he hears their piercing screams. The Furies will soon be on land and on to his scent once more. The Furies run now, fast and hectic, but Orestes makes good speed. He outstrips them and keeps them at bay with tricks of sight and smell. Finally, he sees Athena's temple high on the next hill. He climbs with the calm of one who has arrived. There is a huge wooden sculpture of the goddess at the gates. He walks towards it, kneels down. He rests his tired head upon this oaken Athena's warm, sculpted lap. It is the nearest he has ever felt to a mother's touch.
Lady Athena, I'm sent here by Apollo. Show me your mercy. Let me enter into your temple. I have not come for purification. During my journey to you, I have done my own cleansing of my sins. I have stayed under strangers' roofs. I crossed countries and oceans. Apollo instructed me to do all of this in his oracle. And here I am finally at your house. Goddess, I embrace you. Hold on to you. I shall stay awake all night beside you. I await your judgment.
Orestes falls to the ground, clasping the goddess's oaken skirts to him. The Furies are on his trail, the perpetual followers. They circle and cross his latest tracks like hounds, vying for blood.
Lo! He has been here. Red spots in the ochre sand. Silent informants. We are closing in on him. Follow this trail of blood.
The boy hides here somewhere nearby. I smell his sweat. Taste his blood. Search him out everywhere. This mother killer will not escape us. There he is.
The bastard's taken sanctuary at the temple. Look at him, like a child clinging to the skirts of Athena. He's begging to be acquitted of the murder. Never. My mother's blood spilt into the earth. That is impossible to justify, rectify, or reverse.
Her blood was still warm, sticky, and so much of it gurgling out of her throat and disappearing into the dust. No. We demand his blood in return. We will siphon it out from his dark red pumping arteries. We will drain him. I will be fortified even from this foulest of blood. I will drink his veins dry.
Orestes! We are here! Why do you say nothing?
My journey here has been harsh. But it has taught me. I have had instruction by a wise teacher. He bids me now be silent. My hands are almost clean of blood. Whilst the crime was fresh, I went to the sacred hearth of Apollo. A piglet was held over my head. They slit its throat, and as it screamed, its blood cleansed me. Who is without sin in this world? I call upon Athena to help me.
Where is she then?
She may be in Africa by the River Triton where she was born, marching with her old friends, or surveying the plain of Phlegra like a general.
Let her appear. God's ear words upon the air itself. She will release me from my troubles.
Neither Apollo or Athena can save you from your fate. You will wander as a neglected outcast. You will never know peace of mind or joy. You will be harangued by us until you are bone bleached, bloodless, a memory of your former self. You say nothing. You show us such contempt. You came into this world for me. You are consecrated to me. You will finally be fed to me. A sacrificial calf upon my altar. Our song binds you to us.
Join us. Dance. Come. We will share with you our dark incantations.
We will share with you how we bind and gag men and send them to hell.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. A man who has no blood upon his hands, he is safe from our wrath. He will dance through life unharmed.
The sinner, the murderer, you, Orestes, you who looked up and away from your blood-spattered hands, we make a stand for the victims.
We avenge their wounds.
We are the final judgment.
You, the killer, you have to face us.
Dark Mother Night, you birthed me. I am a punishment for the blind and for those with sight.
I slash the neck of the sacrificial cub, and whilst I cut, I sing of the insane, the deranged.
The fury's chant invokes a frenzy. It paralyzes men. There is no music to accompany our song, only the staccato cries of castration and sorrow.
Destiny dealt us the hangman's card for all time. Murderers, stabbers, the bloody-handed, we follow them, we breathe upon them, and when they die and go to the underworld, there is no release. They are still trapped, hunted, born to chase and catch and slash, unfit to kiss the skirts of gods. No one would ever sit with us, the unclean, and then with the gods. I was not born for white dresses. These charcoal whores' rags are my lot.
What we do as private, those we punish remain anonymous, their deaths various. We save them the pain of being tried.
Men think so highly of their tiny selves whilst living. Their conceit translates to nothing. But when they enter the underworld, they become as dust, ashes, not even a memory.
Look how I dance! I thrust my leathered black foot. Dance!
hurt.
It cracks your skull. My charred leg will trip you up like a stick. It will hook you, and then my same sinewy limb will beat you to a pulp.
A man falls down. He's in a state of shock, whimpers. He knows nothing of how he fell. A dark cloud engulfs him, and then his bloodied victim's voice, pitiful, returns to him from the house where he has killed.
We are never going away.
Efficient cleansing, we avenge wrongs.
The unforgiven. There is no man who is not terrified when he knows he is on our list. We are ordained by fate.
Gods accept us. My role is an ancient one, and it is revered, even though I dwell below, where worms dwell.
A flash of lightning and the sound of thunder, although the sun blazes down. Athena strides towards the temple. The heat haze blurs her shining armor. The golden tassels of her aegis shimmer. She stares at the Furies and Orestes. An owl swoops down and sits upon her shoulder.
I was abroad, claiming land from the Achaeans. I heard Scamander summon me. I started the journey here on foot, and then I flew on the folds of my aegis. You! All of you! Who are you? You boy who clutched my image, who are you? And you... Are you women? You're neither gods nor human. But you've done me no offense. Forgive my lack of respect.
Daughter of Zeus, Athena, we are the eternal children of the night. And in the underworld where we live, they call us the Curses, the Furies, the Eumenides.
Ah, then I know exactly who you are. And where you're from. The Eumenides. The gracious ones.
We are. You will soon know of our duty, too.
Tell me.
We give chase to killers.
And you hunt this man. He is your target.
Yes. He killed his mother.
Perhaps he was ordered to do it. Was he driven to it through someone's rage?
There can be no justification for a child to kill its mother.
Two parties are involved. I have heard only your side.
Question him and decide on his guilt.
You wish my judgment to be the final decision?
We do. You have shown us respect.
Stranger, what do you say? Where are you from? Of which house? What is your crime? You wish to counter their charges.
Lady Athena, firstly, I do not seek purification. I have not knelt here and laid bloodied hands upon your lap. It is the law that a murderer must not speak until he is cleansed. I have been washed in the blood of a sacrifice. I am from Argos. You knew my father, Agamemnon. You conquered Ilium together. He suffered an ignoble death. My mother covered him in silks while he bathed, then killed him. I returned from exile to avenge my father. Apollo told me of the torment I would go through if I let my mother's crime go unpunished. I ask you to judge my actions. Whatever you decide, I will be content with the outcome.
These Furies, they have a mission. If they do not kill you, they will sweat their bile into the earth, and it will poison us all. Endless plagues would follow. So, I can release you, or I can keep you here. Either way, they will be furious. I shall find some intelligent citizens to judge you. The outcome will be the precedent for all future cases. Both parties must collect testimonies and evidence for their pleas. I will return with the best men to decide this issue.
Athena walks down the mountain, all red dust and olive trees. Her owl flies above her, white against the blue sky. Athena stares back at Orestes. She is filled with doubt, but she walks away as one who rules the world. The Furies gather under a dead tree, scratching at their wounds and debating their cause.
If Orestes is acquitted, then the ordained ancient law will have been overthrown. Hmm.
If he is let free, all hell will break loose. An orgy of killing and rotting. Yeah. Children of the future will maim and murder their parents.
Why do they deny the magnitude of his crime? I will kill these Athenians in every way possible. I will torture their neighbours. The diseases we spread will be incurable.
They will run to us when the world is riddled with cancer, crying, oh, justice, oh, mighty Furies.
Fear is needed in our society. A person cannot learn without some form of threat. Justice would not exist if men had nothing to fear.
You think anarchy is good? You want to live under a despot? You must respect justice and its altar. Do not spurn it or trample upon it through greed. Let everyone honour their parents and their guests.
The man who abides by this will be righteous. Mm. He will enjoy prosperity. He will not end up blasted. But he who flouts this rule, he will carry a heavy, lawless burden, confused and anarchic. His sail will crash down. He will be dashed against the mast, and his yardarm will be shattered into splinters.
In the middle of the churning sea, pinioned, punched, winded, he cries out to anyone, but he is alone. The gods will laugh at this arrogant man. They will study his impotence, he who boasted of his power. Buffeted by the waves now, his ship about to snap. He has wrecked any hope of success on the sharp reef of justice, and he dies unwept, unseen.
Athena returns. Her owl flies above her, a herald before her. Behind them, a trumpeter and 11 judges, distinguished, tense.
A cheer for the trial. Fetch one for the goddess Athena and make it ready for her. And 2 voting urns.
The judges walk to their wooden benches. A table is set with the urns. Athena takes her seat.
Herald, call the public to order. Let us hear the Etruscan trumpet. Its purity pierces the sky. Let Zeus hear it, wherever he is. The council is convened. Silence now. Subjects, attend to my ordinance. Judges, you must understand something. The outcome of this trial will affect the people of this city today, but also its future generations. Sound the trumpet now.
Suddenly Apollo appears. Golden, proud, tall, and ready for battle.
Lord Apollo, this is my domain. Return to yours, or state your claim in this dispute.
Orestes came to my temple. I cleansed him of murder. I was then, and am now, his advocate.
He claims that you urged him to kill his mother, Clytemnestra.
I did so. Try him, you and your court, and determine his fate with the ability of your wisdom.
You, the Furies, you will have the first say. I open up this case before the court. As the prosecution, you may tell us your account of the events in detail.
We are legion, but we will not speak for long. You, Orestes, you will answer each of our questions. First, did you kill your mother?
I did. I do not deny it.
1 out of 3 falls.
Do not presume. I am not yet beaten by you.
Second, how did you kill her?
I cut her throat with my sword.
2 falls. Were you truly persuaded to it? Did anyone actually push you forward to slit the jugular of your mother's throat?
Apollo's oracle stated I should kill her. Apollo is my witness.
So, Apollo instructed you to slash at her arteries and gut her like a fish.
He advised me to kill her. And he advised me well.
If you are found guilty, you may change your mind about that.
I have faith in Apollo. And my father, Agamemnon, will help me from his grave.
You trust in the dead, yet you killed your mother?
She had contaminated on 2 counts. I had to murder her.
You speak of contamination. Elaborate.
She killed her husband. My father.
You killed, yet you live and breathe. Your mother paid for her crime with her life.
Why didn't you persecute her?
She did not murder her own blood.
Apollo, speak for me. Tell them whether my revenge killing was just. Did I have the right to do it? Tell me. Tell the court.
Orestes, men of the jury, this trial is ordained by Athena, and I tell you here the cause was a just one. I am a seer. It was a just cause. Zeus willed it, and there is no oath stronger than his.
Zeus gave you this oracle to convey to Orestes? He should avenge the father, but what of the mother?
There are 2 different types of killing here. There is the murder of Agamemnon. He was noble, brave. Zeus honored him with a royal scepter. He was commander, yet he was slaughtered by a woman. And not by an Amazon on the battlefield. His wife, Clytemnestra, welcomed her husband. She held him. She whispered warmth into his ear. This woman drew a bath for him. She swaddled him in yards of silk. And then this woman killed him. This woman had bile for blood. A dark, unseen gash where a heart should beat. She was a flint, not flesh. She was a liar, a hypocrite, a murderess, a whore.
So Zeus sets a higher value on the death of a father, yet he himself imprisoned his aged pater, Cronus. How does that fit in with your story? Judges, I call you to witness that you heard that statement.
You decrepit bitches! The gods detest you! Shackles can be unlocked. A prisoner may be released from his cell, but there is no coming back from a bath full of blood. The body of a man hacked to pieces. My father cannot return, but he still has a will. His spirit has the power to shift and change events here.
Can anyone seriously defend this man? He has butchered his mother, his own bloodline. And yet he may still inherit his father's estate in Argos. Is he then to worship at a public altar when his whole person is contaminated? Which family there will let him wash and prepare in their home? Who there will share the well water with a diseased man?
I will tell you who and why. The mother is never the true parent of a child. She simply nurtures the seed that is within. The parent is he who mounts and truly creates life. The female simply receives and shelters the offspring. A man can procreate without a woman. Look at Athena here, daughter of Zeus. You sprung out of your Olympian father's head. What need of a womb? Athena, I revere you. I have sent this man to the hearth of your temple so that he might become our faithful friend for all time. He will be an ally to you, goddess. Both him and his descendants.
Have we heard everyone? Shall I now instruct for the votes to be cast? Does anyone wish to say more?
Our side has shot all of their arrows. I will stay to hear the verdict.
And you, the Furies, are you satisfied for us to proceed? That the evidence has been sufficient?
Judges, you have heard what has been said. When you cast your votes, gentlemen, look to your hearts and to your vows as citizens.
People of Attica, this is my decree. You are judges here at the first ever trial for bloodshed. The law, from now on, will require this procedure. The people of Aegeus will assemble a council of judges. This hillside is the Areopagus. On this site, citizens will judge all future crimes committed in the daylight or in the dark. My citizens should maintain and practice laws which are neither anarchic nor despotic. Fear must be kept alive in the city. Who respects justice if he fears nothing? If you fear an august body like this, you will have a bulwark beyond compare to keep your land and city safe. Neither the Scythians nor the Peloponnese will have such a system. This council will be untouched by thought of gain. It must be reverent and harsh when anger is called for. It will protect you while you sleep. I hereby establish this council, for now and for always. Judges, arise, deliver your votes. I have spoken, and I will respect your verdict.
The first judge goes to the urns, looks to the sky, pauses, votes, and returns to his seat. Now the second, slow to approach, glances at Athena, then to the ground.
You judges, remember who we are. We can destroy this, your land.
Remember, too, who these oracles came from. Myself and Zeus. Do not dishonor them.
The line of judges continues, slow, silent, casting their votes.
You were telling us about murder, Apollo, but you should not be allowed to lecture upon anything. Your temple should be clean, but you've filled it with filth like your father did. Its walls and floors are dashed in blood.
My father's youth sheltered Ixion. He was the first murderer, and my father purified him. Do you dare to question his actions?
If I don't see justice done here, this whole country should fear our presence.
Neither the younger nor the older gods will deign to look upon you. Victory will be mine.
You did the same with Pheres. You induced the fates to make mortals immortal.
Was I wrong to do some good to one who had treated me with respect? The man was in great need.
You destroyed the traditional allotment of power. You beguiled those ancient goddesses and got them drunk.
Shortly you will lose this case. And then you will vomit up your poison. And will it do harm to your enemies? No. It will have no effect.
You kick me like a dog. Youth over age. But this case is not decided yet. My rage is waiting and ready to kick back at you.
Athena stands beside the urns now. Her owl circles overhead. She holds a voting token in her hand.
I am the last judge in this case. My vote is with Orestes. I had no birth mother. I am my father's child. Therefore, I shall not call the death of Clytemnestra worse than that of Agamemnon. She killed her husband who had sheltered her. He was the guardian of the house.
Athena drops her ballot into the urn.
If the judges' votes on Orestes are equal, then mine will acquit him. Empty the ballots from the urns. The counting judges must come forward, please.
Athena sits. Two of the judges approach the urns. They turn them upside down on the table. They look to her, then to the counting.
Black Mother Night, are you watching this?
Apollo, what will be the outcome?
Orestes sweats. He looks as though he might fall to the ground, but tries to hide his fever.
I am thrown into a cell and then hanged by the neck. Or I am free to walk away and feel the heat upon my back again.
You will feel the heat upon your back, my son.
Mother, you forgive me.
You will feel the heat upon your back.
Do you, Mother?
You will feel the heat upon your back as you swing from the rope and hang there by the neck. Your back will break and birds will wait for your writhing to stop. They will pluck out your bewildered eyes.
Clytemnestra, why do you torture me? I am still your son.
Then I must be your mother.
No. Apollo, are you with me? Apollo!
There is no god on your side. You are alone and ready to be fed to the dogs.
You can say that to your child.
Whose child? I see no child, only a cur who pushed through skin and flesh and drove through bone with his knife to kill me.
I share no blood with you. Leave me.
or do we continue to do our duty?
The tellers lift aside the urns. Two piles of votes.
Count them accurately, gentlemen. You must be scrupulous. A single vote can be the difference between destruction and salvation. Whisper the result to me.
The tellers whisper the outcome to Athena. The goddess looks to the Furies, looks to Orestes, and then stares at Apollo. Athena stands.
The result!
She watches her owl fly over and hover before Apollo. Then the owl returns to the goddess, who points to Orestes.
Orestes, you stand acquitted of murder. The votes have been counted. They are equal.
Oh. Athena, savior of my house. I was banished from my own country, and you have given me back my home. This will be the talk of Argos and all over Greece. Zeus took note of my father's death. He has saved me from these Furies. Apollo, I thank you. Apollo!
But Apollo disappears. The gold evaporates. And all that is left is the trail of a snake along the sand.
There is no god here now but me. What will you do, Orestes?
I make a solemn oath to your land and people. No captain of Argos, loaded with arms, will ever wage war against this country. I will do violence against those who break my promise. I will bring plague upon them. If they uphold my promise, I shall honor them.
Orestes approaches Athena. He kneels to her. Now he lies upon the ground.
Stand. Leave now. You are free.
Pallas Athena, may you always be victorious against your enemies. May you be ever safe.
Orestes walks away, lifeful, young. He looks back at the Furies, studies them. He is youth. They are age. He turns his back to them and walks down the hillside, relief overshadowed by conceit.
You younger gods, you have made a mockery of the ancient laws. You've abducted them from us and made them your own. My honor has been stripped. My anger. I feel poisoned bile here in my breast. I will have my revenge. I will wreck this land.
Justice! I go for justice!
If one black drop falls from our lungs and onto this land, that single tiny tar-like pustule, it has the capacity to crush you all.
Cancer will issue from it! Trees will fester, wombs will dry up, disease will envelop the soil, a fatal miasma will deform and kill all of humanity. I weep. What can I do?
No! You are not defeated. The result of the trial was an equal vote. You may stand proud. There was evidence before the court which cited Zeus. Stop cursing this land! Calm yourself! I shall give to you a kingdom underground here, in our soil. You will sit on thrones that gleam. You will have altars, and you will receive honors from these citizens.
You sneer at me and laugh! Your treatment of me is unacceptable. We daughters of the night have suffered. We are aggrieved, insulted, defaced.
The Furies start to stamp upon the ground. They encant under their breaths.
What are you doing? No one has dishonored you. You are goddesses. I put my trust in Zeus. I am the only god who has the keys to the chamber in which his deadly lightning bolt is housed. I have no need for it. But mark me,
Do not let your tongue be so impetuous. Stop this talk of wastelands and sterility. Put your rage to bed. This land will be mighty, and its first fruits will always be offered to you, as will the sacrifices before childbirth and marriage vows. Now, you may thank me.
But the Furies ride still and beat their sticks upon the rocks.
I spit on your offers of reconciliation. My side hurts. What is this seething pain? Hear my words, O Mother Night. These gods with their evil and trickery, they have severed me from my age-old duties and made me into nothing!
I forgive you your anger. You are far older than me. You have lived longer and no more than I do. But Zeus has given me a sharp mind. If you exile yourselves and live with foreigners, then I predict you will ache for this country like a lost lover.
A diseased lover?
No! This land will grow and become ever greater. You will be given a beautiful home close to the house of Erechtheus. Men and women will process for you. They will give you such honors as you would never get from anyone else. Let wars happen against foreigners. Countless battles. We ever desire combat and glory. But do not create them in our own yard. You have a choice. You may choose just deeds, fair treatment, and good honor.
Never. Never!
Athena stands now, taller and taller, her anger deepens. Athena reaches under her breastplate and brings out pure light. No one can look at it. The lightning bolt. It is blinding and gives off not heat, but a force. Now it transforms into her owl. Athena's patience is gone from her face, yet she puts on a show of grace. Coolly, she offers a hand to the creature she could destroy with just a gesture. The Furies are terrified. They kneel to her. Some of them cough up blood and hold each other for comfort. Electo is pale. She is finally met. Her power dwarfed by Athena's. Humiliated but defiant, she plays the game of the guest and nods to the goddess's hand.
So, do stay. But listen, if you decide not to, you must not curse this city. You must not think to harm my people. You have been offered land and respect in this country for all time.
Lady Athena, where did you say we would live?
In a home that is free from all pain and anguish. Please accept my offer.
If we said yes, what privileges would be given us?
No house will prosper without your aid.
You would promise us that? Such a great privilege.
I would. And I will favor those who revere you.
For all time?
Yes. And with utter free will.
Free will? You talk of that?
Think on it. Stay here. Make some friends.
What blessings would you have us invoke upon the people here?
Those that would be appropriate to an honorable victory. Blessings from the earth, the sea, and the sky. You would pray for the strong winds to come over the land, followed by the sunshine. You would invoke the abundance of the crops and our animals. You would pray for the people to be fecund.
Would we?
You would! And for the best of the people to be the most fertile, for they will breed a righteous race. You would grant all these prayers. I would make Athens a city of victory in glorious martial struggles. So, your answer.
We will accept residency here with Pallas. We will not dishonor the city. Zeus, the Almighty, lives here.
As does Ares, the guard post of the gods. He protects their altars, the delight of the divinities of Greece. I will pray for this city, and I will prophesy with good intent.
May the brightness of the sun cause blessings beneficial to her life. May fruit issue from this earth.
I do this for my people. I invite these ancient goddesses, reluctant, to make their home here. The Furies' allotted function will be to manage all human affairs. Any man who displeases them, he will be stricken.
So, we will inform the natural orders. No trees here will be split by strong winds. I promise this. No flames will engulf the plants, nor scorch their buds. We will have no forest fires.
We will have no blight, no plague upon our crops.
Your flocks will multiply. Pan will teach them to bear twins when they are lambing. The future generations will have riches in their soil. They will pay back to the gods some of the treasure they have given them.
Council of the Areopagus, are you taking heed of this? The Furies have great power among the immortals and in the underworld. And upon humans, they wield a mighty influence. To some, they might unveil a song of joy. To others, they prescribe a life seen only through hot tears. What will you do?
We will not endure that men die before their time. We ask you to grant that lovely young women thrive and marry and reproduce, you gods who rightfully possess that power, and you fates, our sisters, children of the same mother, divinities in just apportionment, sharers in all temples, who cast judgment as we do, the most highly honored of gods in their righteous visitations.
They will keep to their word in these actions. They will do good in my country. I feel so full, and I rejoice that the eyes of persuasion kept my tongue and lips in check and made me respond with roses when I was plied with curses. Zeus of the assemblies, you have triumphed. My struggle for good has won a victory, and it will last forever.
Be happy, people. You citizens of this city, seated so close to Athena, virgin daughter of Zeus, loving and loved, wiser than her years. You are under Athena's protective wing, and Zeus, her father, reveres you.
The priestess of Athena walks in now with two women. There are girls with them. Temple servants. They bring torches and purple robes. They lead the bellowing animals along for sacrifice. They start to process. They give flowers to the Furies, who look confused, out of place.
You Furies, you must celebrate too. I will go before you now to show you your chambers. By the sacred light of these escorts, follow me, and when you have passed under the earth to the accompaniment of these solemn sacrifices, keep below the ground anything that threatens my country, and send up into the light what will benefit my city and make it victorious. And you, children of Cronoas, who live in this city, lead these immigrants on. Citizens, enjoy the favors we will give these foreigners. Rejoice in what they are receiving.
Alecto is led like a bull to market, her face stone-like, melancholy from her head to her blackened feet. She tries to hide her sorrow as she processes.
Be happy, everyone of this city. Gods, mortals, everyone who lives in Athena's city and respects my status as an immigrant here. You will never have cause to complain about your lot in life.
Thank you for this blessing. I invite you to approach the jewel of the whole land of Theseus. This is a revered band of goddesses, people of Cecrops. Honor them with special robes dyed with purple. Then let the flame of fire go forward so that these new companions of ours may give it the glorious blessing of excellence. The maidens drape purple robes around the Furies. Athena takes her place in the procession. It begins to move off. A young girl addresses the Furies.
Come, follow us, you great honorable childless daughters of night. We are your escort. Speak beautifully to them, people. In the primal recesses of the earth, may you receive great reverence with rituals and sacrifices. Speak beautifully to them, people. With your favor and justice towards our land, come with us, revered goddesses. Delight in the fire that devours our torches on your way.
The entrance to the Fury's home is a hole, a gash in the earth. One of the maidens pushes Electo down onto the ladder. The daughters of night, the others, the gracious ones. They start to descend.
With haste now, enter your home. The Zeus, the all-seeing, and destiny have helped the people of Athena. Now cry out for triumph to crown our song.
The earth closes when the last Fury has entered it. And silence reigns as the people stare at the new home of the Furies. The Eumenides, the gracious ones. And now the thunder. The people look up. The sky is full of black rain. It pelts down and washes away the blood of the day's sacrifices.
In The Furies by Rebecca Lenkowitz after Aeschylus, the narrator was Neve Cusack. The Furies were Polly Hemingway, Maureen Beattie, and Carolyn Pickles. Orestes was played by Will Howard. Clytemnestra was Leslie Sharp. Apollo, Joel McCormack. Athena, Chipo Chung. And the Pythia, Priyanga Burford. Other parts were played by Carrie Saleri and Sean Murray. The music was created and performed by the percussionists of the BBC Concert Orchestra, Stephen Webberly, Alistair Malloy, and Stephen Whibley, and the singer was Adriana Feshtu. Sound was by Colin Guthrie, and the director was Sasha Yevtushenko.
If you'd like to receive our newsletter with full details of the week's radio dramas, just search for BBC Radio Drama Newsletter.